Were you born at home or were you born in a hospital?
Yeah, I was born at home. And that's another thing, you know. Like I say, she used to go out on her morning walks. And then it was all her life. She was out walking. All her life she went out for walks. She went to her morning walk, and over there, you know, she had a strong pain. She didn't have any other disorders or symptoms or nothing. And she was walking, you know, oh, she had this peculiar pain. I better hurry back. She says, she tells, you know, some of the trades people that knew her. I feel like I better hurry. I was like, hurry up. So they gave her some flowers or something, and she was just almost running, not running, but almost running. And she just hollered to my father. She says, Luis, hurry up, it's time. And he gets up running, and she just collapsed. She was, the house hit a high step, and she went to make that step. She said, yeah, which means now, you know. And he picks her up, you know, like they picked her up, and carrying her and put her on the bed. But I was already caught in her skirt. I was already out. and laid her on the bed. He went and got the midwife. And that was it.
You were already there.
I was there. She had very, very natural, very easy childbirth. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my father was crazy about me because I was the only, I think I said four or five boys, and I was the last girl, the only one, and the girl who was just crazy. And he used to tell, you know, just, he wanted my mother to be making me dresses every day. And give me a piece of the dress, the material you're going to make. And like I said, he used to dye the leather. Mm-hmm. And he used to dye the finest glove leather, you know, the finest kid. And he'd take little pieces of material, the color of the dress he was telling my mother was going to make me, he'd take it and dye the leather, the color of the material. He was just like crazy with this new toy. He couldn't make enough for me. My mother's making me dresses, he's making me shoes to match.
When you're a baby.
Yeah. Maybe I'll find baby pictures of when I was 6 months old. And I used to ask my mother, my goodness, why do you hang all these things on me? You know, I'm sitting. I was just looking at it the other day. I was fixing the closet. I'm sitting on, I think I was supposedly 6 months. And I have beads and a little chemise with little tiny, tiny tucks and lace that she made and bows here and a bracelet and a little ring and earrings and it's sitting like this and a flower here and a flower here. I said, my goodness, and mother says, I mean, look like a Christmas tree. What did you put all those things on me for? Oh, she says, your father and I were so crazy. She said, we just didn't know what to put on you.
You said you were a toddler when you came to
El
Paso.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, about how old?
Well, not exactly a toddler, but I was small enough to hide under her skirt. I must maybe 3, 4, something like that. Of course, I knew it was very big. I'm not very big now, but I would say about 4, 3, 4.
How long did you live in El Paso?
Oh, up to the time I got married. Oh, maybe 17. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about the house that you lived in El Paso, or where you lived in El Paso?
Oh, well, we lived the other side of the tracks. But even, it was nice. I mean, we were poor. We were always poor, you know. We were poor, but when I hear all these stories nowadays about, oh, that the people are so poor, and there's rats, and there's roaches, and this and that, and I remember we had a room, but it was clean. You could eat on that floor. The outside, everybody got up. All the women that were there, they But I remember they'd get up at 5. Everybody was did room sweeping up the street, and everybody was clean. We had raggedy clothes, old clothes, but we were clean. I really don't. I stop and think about it, and we were very poor, but I didn't feel poor. I didn't feel poor, and these things that they talk about now, you know, the children are, they're wandering about and they don't know what to do, and they're unhappy and they go to dope and this and that. I don't know if it has anything to do with the culture or not. I think a great deal is we were imbued with this Spanish culture, which you are taught very early that you must have dignity and self-respect. First, you got to have self-respect, because if you don't respect yourself, nobody else is going to respect you. And that branches off, you know, you're too proud to be dirty, you're too proud to let anybody know that you're hungry. You much rather go hungry than go beg. You just make do what you have. And your work is what's important. Whatever work you're doing must be done with a sense of dignity. And I don't know whether it's the times that have changed or whether it was part of my culture. I don't know. And in a way, although I grew up in the United States and I love dearly this country, but that part of my life, I'm glad that although we were in this country and there is not much that you can associate with in your own culture, but what I learned from my mother or that I heard, you know, I'm glad that I had it. I'm very happy that I had it, because if I hadn't thought along these ideas, living out there, like I say, in the other side of the tracks, you know, I would have become something else. And another thing, you know, that I was taught, well, you obey your parents. And I obey my mother. What my mother said was law. And none of this rebelliousness or nothing. I just loved her dearly. And what she said, you're going to sit here in this chair. If she said you sit in this chair all day long, no reason. I didn't even understand why. Just except the fact that she said, you do it, it was reason enough for me. And so some of my little friends, I know they get out of school and they go out playing in the street or getting in all kinds of trouble. I was supposed to come home, I stay home, and that's it. I loved to read, and I was always reading or cleaning the house. Like I said, that floor was, we had bare floors, we didn't have linoleum, we didn't have a rug or nothing. That floor was scrubbed like new boards from scrubbing. They were just like new boards. So that was my pastime. I was either scrubbing the room, or I was reading or sewing. I was sewing when I was very young, 7 years old I could sew, making dresses for my dolls. And I don't regret a bit that they were poor, because I grew to be very self-reliant. I knew that if I didn't do certain things, so my mother wasn't there. She was out scrounging a living, and I had to do my part. If I didn't do it, well, it wasn't going to be done.
Did your brother work around the house?
Oh, my brother was, like I said, he was a scholar. I adore my brother. Sometimes I thought so many times I should have been the one to have died, not him. He had the privilege, of course, that my father died. You know, they were had those years together. And in Mexico, he used to go to private school, to a small private school. And my father used to go and visit the school regularly. Every week, she'd go and talk to the teachers and how he was doing his work. And one of the teachers told him once, he says, "Mr. Romero," I say, "why do you ask us how he's doing?" I said, he teaches us. He's a marvelous boy. He's brilliant. He teaches us. And he just eat up anything he could read. And he was about 12, 13 when we came here. And he started working in the Chamber of Commerce in Juarez. The Chamber of Commerce is an office boy. And he started working, I think, at 7. And he worked until about 7 at night, cleaning the offices and bringing paper. Well, you know, office boy, whatever they do. And then after that, somebody there, I don't know what the position of this man and this woman were, they started giving him lessons in English and typing and stenography and English and Spanish. So he learned both of them, English and Spanish. He could translate both languages just fluently. And then he was going to night school, learning English also. And he could speak English just as well as any college graduate here in 4 years, I would say. And after he left the Chamber of Commerce, and he was working in the largest department store there in El Paso, it's then. It's, well, I think it still is, the White House. He was sitting the window decorator. He was an artist too. He could just paint in any medium. And the window they decorated there was really beautiful. It was a big event any season, whether it was Christmas or fall or spring. The spring opening was really beautiful because, you know, in those days we didn't have synthetics. They were just silk. All these gorgeous bolts of silk, chiffon and silks, and like I say, he was an artist. You know, he'd get mentioned about those honorable mention. They had sort of like, well, who did the most beautiful windows this spring? Well, it was always his. This beautiful display with these rolls of chiffon and flowers, and maybe a mannequin that was very sophisticated thing. Oh, those windows were just beautiful. And but he died very soon too. He worked there until one winter he caught the flu, and he was off for about 3 days, and then he was a little better. He says, no, I have to go to work. And he went to work. He had a relapse, and it settled along his spine. The virus settled in his spine. And he was gone within 10 days, I think.
About what year was that?
Oh, 1930. About 1930, about. He was still so young. I think he was about 24, 25.
When he was working, when you first came, was he his money to help support the family?
Oh, he supported the family, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he didn't let my mother work anymore after she was 40. Mm-mm. She's not going to work anymore. You just stay home. She stay home. And I used to work after school. I used to work after school. I went to work, and I used to work after school.
Doing what?
Oh, helping in a store, in an antique store. This man had a store. Well, he used to do everything. He used to repair, sell new and used machines. He was the agent for the white rotary sewing machine, and he used to repair them and sell them, and then he took in furniture, and then after a while he expanded into selling antiques. He used to have a lot of antiques, and you just name it. He had everything, and I used to work there for him after school, during vacation, and I learned a bit about antiques and refinishing and things like that. A very, very interesting period of work there with him.
Was the neighborhood that you lived in primarily Mexican families, or was it?
Well, actually, we didn't live there. The other side of the tracks too long. we lived to the better house, to the better side. Let's see, it must have been when I was about 12, I guess. Yeah, I think it was about 12. My mother was a housekeeper in a big house with some well-to-do family, and they offered us an apartment there for them. It was the basement. It was the basement apartment, but it was nicer than what we were living, you know, on the other side of the tracks. And after that, we moved from there. You know, it didn't turn out satisfactory because my mother was the housekeeper. She was the one that was hired, but then they wanted my brother to do the yard work, which was not the agreement, and they wanted me to babysit. I was still very young, but still old enough to take care of the baby, and my mother didn't like that situation at all. Says no. I said, we are not here. All three of us. We are not older. Three of us. The pride comes back again. You know, we're not going to be all here slaving here. Because that took time for my brother's studies. And when I came to my brother's studies, my mother was just, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
He came first. Everything his studies came first, you know. He wasn't going to put up with it. He's not going to be mowing the lawn when he has homework to do. He worked long hours as it was. By the time he got home, he was home, it was 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with me, you know. After school, I had to babysit. No, it wasn't going to be that way. So we moved from there, but then we moved in a small house, but in a better neighborhood, and we couldn't afford a whole house, but we rented a couple of rooms, and but we got a little rent from the other tenants, and we could, you know, manage to pay for the rent. So. It was okay.
When you first went to school here, did you know English?
No. Well, like I say, you know, we came when I was very young. I only spoke Spanish. I was four. But I went to private school in El Paso. I went to a parochial school. And it was what they call it, Anglo-Spanish Institute or something like that. And they had us. Well, they were all Spanish-speaking children, all of us. And but we started from like the primer, you know, this is Will. They don't have this here anymore. It says, this is Will. My name is Will. And then this is Kate. And this is my dog. And this is my cat. Everything we had to write either on the blackboard or on our pad.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cat. We had to read it. We had to read it, pronounce it, and translate it in a line, you know. My name is Lupe. Mi nombre es Lupe. This is my cat. Este es mi gato. Everything had to be translated. So I went to school learning both languages at the same time. And throughout my life, yeah, I use both languages, but I can write either one of the two. I can write it and read it,
mm-hmm.
both languages. And another thing, too, like I said, my mother and my brother used to be such a scholar, you know, and we were just barely beginning to walk, and she was already teaching me the alphabet. So by the time I went to school, I got promoted immediately because I could write already. I knew the alphabet and I could write short words, and also I immediately got promoted to first grade. Next day I was in second grade.
Did you ever have a problem when you were young and just arrived here with not being able to speak your language?
No, never, because I came as a child, a small child, never. And I never felt different either, because most of my friends have always been Americans, English-speaking people, wherever we had lived, wherever I have worked, except, you know, when we have some friends or from work, or my husband's place of work, there were a lot of Mexican or Spanish-speaking people, and he could speak Spanish. His mother was Spanish ancestry, and his father didn't speak Spanish, so he had to talk English with his father and Spanish with his mother. Mm-hmm. And within the family, we mixed the language also. We speak sometimes things come faster, mm-hmm, in one in Spanish or in English, but I think faster in English. And but my children don't speak Spanish. They didn't have the opportunity to use it as much as I did. And then my mother lived with me. I lived with her up to the time I got married. After I got married, she lived with me. And so I used to talk Spanish to her. But the children, well, they had their friends and in school, and they didn't have the opportunity to speak Spanish much. Mm-hmm. And they understand me sometimes, but I tell them I'm not very well. And my granddaughter took Spanish for 2-3 years, and she can write it. Her grammar is just beautiful and perfect, but she won't talk. She won't talk, particularly in front of me, she won't talk. But if we go to Mexico or somewhere else where she knows someone, she's talking to someone that does not understand English. Mm-hmm. She'll speak Spanish very well.
Did you go to this school all the way through?
No, I went to high school later. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. No, they went up to 8.
But you went there through 8th grade, and mm-hmm, then you went to public,
mm-hmm,
high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved here, after I got married, I went to night school too. I should have gotten my credits, which I never did. I should now. I think, you know, what for now? Doesn't make any difference because I'm not working anywhere anyway. I don't need it. But I went to school, night school, for a long time, taking different subjects, English, improve my English, and public speaking, psychology, and oh, a number of things like that.
How is it going to the public high school after having been in this bilingual school?
Oh, just horrible. I don't know, because I don't know if I'm talking about this if from the personal standpoint or whether it actually is this fact, but in private school everything was organized. In public school, it seems like the kids are so undisciplined, and I didn't see that. It seemed to me like they didn't have the respect for the teachers that we had. You know, we just flabbergasted sometimes the way the kids would talk back or run in the room or be boisterous and all that. And I wasn't used to that, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I was very unhappy. But it was this, I don't know, this disorder is what I didn't like. Mm-hmm.
Were you involved in school activities at all?
Well, I never was much for sports. No, not seriously. I took part in some of the games, you know, but not for competition. Mm-hmm. I didn't like them.
What about clubs or?
No, they were not over there. They're maybe now, but then they were not much for that. The only big activity they had is one school playing against the other, or maybe one school having a spelling match against the other. And I used to like that. Mm-hmm. All the spelling matches, I just love them. Mm-hmm. I love them. But for sports, no, I didn't care for them. Nowadays, they have everything. Everything. And I mean everything. Which a lot of it I don't think is necessary. Those are things that come as you live. Experiences that you come to just normally. Mm-hmm. And, nowadays, they give so much importance about the kids. They have to be, how to behave socially. That's not important. You go to school to learn. To learn your education, your education, nothing to do with social, with social life later. Right?
What kinds of things did you play as a child?
I think I kind of, I think that maybe I would have been good sort of I used to love to play sort of in dramatic things. Well, what are we going to play now? Let's play theater. I was always a star. And like I say, you know, I used to sew since I was very young, and I used to make me the most fantastic dresses out of my mother's dresses. And, you know, and then I put drapes, you know, make a stage, and for Halloween, you know, they put on a regular show. And I would have loved to become a dancer at one time. I had entertained the idea of becoming a professional dancer. As a matter of fact, I did have a few engagements dancing as a professional dancer.
What kind of dancing?
Spanish. It was character dancing from different countries. And I love that. I never told this to my mother, but because I always knew she was poor, but I would have liked to have been, had good training as a professional dancer or music or something, but never any money for me. My brother had the advantages that I didn't have. He could play the piano and violin, the mandolin. But I didn't have this opportunity, but I would have loved to have been a dancer.
Did you play outside much?
Yes. I played outside. But I was very picky with my friends who I played with. I don't like this rough stuff. I mean, like this rough stuff. Whatever we did, you know, I had my selected friends that I could get along better with. I used to make my own little gardens. To me, that was a sort of play. Very young, I had my little garden up. Select the little places that I would plant in a certain way, in a certain pattern, and make it this was my place where I did things. I was either reading or painting or sewing. I used to make my doll's clothes. I used to make dolls. I used to make dolls out of rag dolls. And we used to have a neighbor with long hair down to here. And she'd brush her hair, and she'd brush her hair. And, you know, you remove the hairs off of the brush, and then she used to roll it on her finger. And then she'd go and stick it. She used to you know, adobes, when the adobes, with the weather, they separate, you know, the adobes are like every corner where they come together. They wear out with the water. It makes a little hole there, a little opening. So she used to stick all these little balls of hair and all this little in the adobes. She had a funny thing about hair. Hair should not be thrown away. It shouldn't be burned. You should bury it, or, you know, I don't know, something superstition of some kind. So anyway, I go and find all these little balls of hair, and I unwind them. I unwind all this hair and stretch it out and just collect it